Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. After President Trump takes aim at the head of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield, and what he said about a potential vaccine and timeline, the nation's top doctors tonight come to Dr. Redfield's defense and what Dr. Anthony Fauci is saying about when millions of Americans will likely get a vaccine. The president offering his own timeline much closer to the election. And all of this as the U.S. now nears 200,000 American lives lost. Tonight here, a reality check, ABC News reaching out to the leaders, the scientists, leading more than a half dozen vaccine trials. So what do they say about when there could be a vaccine and when Americans could get it? Also the new obstacles for schools, New York City schools, and the setback. And the pastor who told members of his own congregation they didn't have to wear masks, now reportedly in the ICU battling the virus. The remnants of Hurricane Sally, the storm turning deadly. Flash flood watches and warnings across several states tonight, all the way up to Virginia. The tornado watch and the rescues still underway. Rob Marciano in the storm zone. The FBI director on Capitol Hill today grilled on the president's claims of voter fraud. The FBI director's answer, far different. And the head of the FBI pressed on the controversial comments from Attorney General William Barr overnight, calling some in his own Justice Department preschoolers. Also, the AG's comments on the Black Lives Matter movement and comparing lockdowns because of the pandemic to slavery. New reporting tonight, Vladimir Putin's foe from his hospital bed now, and new video emerging in the suspected poisoning, what it could mean in the investigation, and Martha Raddatz is standing by. The popular Netflix star under arrest tonight after the FBI raid at his home. And America Strong tonight, the baby and the power of a mother's voice.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. We have a lot to get to. That storm, the remnants of Sally now turning deadly, the rescues tonight, and the tornado watch up right now. But we're going to begin tonight with the coronavirus here in the U.S. and the CDC's dire new forecast that the death toll could be 218,000 American lives by October 10th. That's just 3 weeks from now. And tonight, the feud between President Trump and the scientists. President Trump telling Americans that the head of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield, was wrong, that he was confused when he said an initial vaccine could come in November or December, but that it will be well into next year before millions of Americans get it. The president suggesting a different timeline, one that could mean a vaccine is ready before the election, and the president claiming it would be available right away. Leaders in the medical community tonight coming to the CDC chief's defense, hoping to offer the American people a more realistic timeline. But in a polarized country and with politics at play tonight, what the American people are now saying about whether they even trust this vaccine is coming without political pressure. And so we begin with our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
Tonight, the nation's top medical experts are backing up embattled CDC Director Robert Redfield as President Trump calls Redfield confused and mistaken about when most Americans will be able to get the COVID vaccine. Redfield told Congress that even if a vaccine is approved this fall, it will take many more months before it is widely available.
I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter 2021.
President Trump says he called Redfield directly to tell him he is wrong, an extraordinary rebuke to one of the top experts on his coronavirus task force.
I think he made a mistake when he said that. I believe he was confused.
The president has repeatedly suggested the vaccine would be ready before the election and available to the general public right away.
We're not looking to say, gee, in 6 months we're going to start giving it to the general public. No, we want to go immediately.
But Dr. Anthony Fauci said even if a vaccine is approved this fall, it likely won't be ready for the general population until the middle of next year.
The idea of getting the entire population that wants to get vaccinated in a month or two, that's going to be very, very difficult to do.
The head of Operation Warp Speed, the Trump administration's effort to develop a vaccine, recently said essentially the same thing. While some 20 million doses may be ready for vulnerable populations by the end of the year, for the general public, it will take considerably more time.
We will ramp up the manufacturing of vaccine doses to be able to, based on our plans, have enough vaccine to immunize the U.S. population by the middle of 2021.
Joe Biden says he will trust the scientists, not the president.
A president who, by his own admission, downplayed the threat of the virus, leaving a staggering number of Americans to die.
Tonight, the CDC projects 218,000 Americans will have died of COVID-19 by October 10th. But the president has been trying to convince voters he has done a good job handling the pandemic, saying the death count would be much lower if you don't count states controlled by Democrats.
If you take the blue states out, we're at a level that I don't think anybody in the world would be at.
It was a comment roundly condemned, including by New York's senior senator.
What kind of demented person would say that those American lives don't count?
And Joe Biden tweeted, "The job is to be president of all Americans. For the love of God, start acting like it." And tonight, another former member of the Trump administration has turned against the president. Olivia Troy, who served on the coronavirus task force as Vice President Pence's Homeland Security advisor, tells the Washington Post that President Trump has a, quote, flat-out disregard for human life.
When we were in a task force meeting, the president said, maybe this COVID thing is a good thing. I don't like shaking hands with people. I don't have to shake hands with these disgusting people.
Tonight, Vice President Pence said Troy sounds like a, quote, disgruntled employee.
And so let's get right to John Carl with us live from Washington tonight. And John, we know President Trump is also fighting the CDC director after what Dr. Redfield said about masks, that masks might be more effective even than a vaccine. But there's also news coming in on masks tonight that reports that as far back as in April, the post office was planning to mail out 650 million masks to American families nationwide. But that plan was shelved.
In fact, David, the plan was so far along that the post office actually drafted this press release back in April announcing it. The press release was just obtained by the oversight group American Oversight, and it details 650 million masks to be sent out working with the Department of Health and Human Services. The White House did not respond to our questions about why the plan was scrapped, but the Washington Post is reporting that there were concerns at the White House that the plan, sending out all those masks, would cause Americans to panic. David.
All right, John Carl leading us off tonight. John, thank you. Of course, John, you know all of this comes as the U.S. now nears that new and grim milestone, the death toll nearing 200,000, now at more than 197,000 lives lost. New York City schools suffering another setback tonight, and this evening a reality check right here. Our team reaching out to the heads of all of the major vaccine trials amid this political battle, this back and forth between the president and the scientists. So what do they say about when a vaccine could come? What they told us tonight. Here's our chief national affairs correspondent, Tom Yamas, now.
Tonight, a major reality check in the race for a vaccine. Of the eight companies in Operation Warp Speed, just three vaccines are in the final stage of trials. And only one, Pfizer, says it might know next month if its vaccine is safe and effective.
We have quite a good chance, more than 60%, that we will know if the product works or not by the end of October. But, of course, doesn't mean that it works. It means that we will know if it works.
Moderna telling us they could have an answer on their vaccine by November, but AstraZeneca's U.S. trial is still on hold, waiting for a green light from the FDA after a British vaccine volunteer was hospitalized. The fight to get the upper hand on the virus coming as schools wrestle with reopening. And tonight, for parents in the country's largest school district, whiplash. Just days before reopening, New York City announcing yet another delay for most students.
We need to make sure there's the appropriate number of educators in each school.
The mayor also citing a teacher shortage after another showdown with unions representing faculty and staff.
I feel like the parents and the students are in between the mayor and the DOE, and I feel like we always are losing out. I mean, I understand that they're trying to make us safe, but like, we have to get into a routine. We need to move forward.
Some teachers are calling for more staff and PPE. At PS 532 in Brooklyn, we met teacher Sherry Bailey last month as her school was getting ready to reopen.
Every day we have two jobs, to keep students safe and to keep them learning. And now safety is more important than ever.
Out west, some troubling news. Wynn Resorts in Las Vegas reporting nearly 500 workers tested positive for the virus since the hotel and casino reopened in June. The company says contact tracing found nearly all the cases were contracted outside of work. And in Idaho, a pastor who told congregants they could go without masks after reopening for services has been hospitalized with the virus in the ICU.
So let's get right to Tom Yamas tonight, because, Tom, I mentioned at the top this evening that there's some new polling, what the American people think about all this and whether they actually trust this vaccine, will it be safe, whether political pressure is actually rushing it.
That's right, David. And what we're learning tonight from this new survey from the Pew Research Center is that there is real concern. They found only 51% of Americans will definitely or probably take the vaccine. That's down from 72% back in May. And more than three quarters of those polled said they have real concerns whether this vaccine is being rushed and whether it will be safe and effective. David.
All right, Tom Yamas, great to have you tonight. And one more note on the virus tonight. Much of Europe is very concerned this evening, fearing they're seeing the beginning of a second wave, possibly. The World Health Organization warning of a, quote, very serious situation, citing alarming rates of new transmission. More weekly cases now than when the pandemic first peaked in March. The UK imposing new restrictions just this week. Germany, Italy, and Spain are all seeing increases. Back here at home, we're going to turn now to the FBI Director Christopher Wray on Capitol Hill today, grilled on the president's claims of voter fraud. The director was also pressed on what Attorney General William Barr said overnight, calling some of his own prosecutors at the Justice Department preschoolers, and the AG also comparing lockdowns during a pandemic to slavery. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, tonight.
Tonight, despite President Trump repeatedly raising concerns about the potential for mass voter fraud, the FBI director telling Congress he's seeing little evidence of such.
We have not seen a coordinated national voter fraud effort in a major election.
But what he is seeing is hard evidence of the Kremlin meddling in the U.S. presidential election again, targeting Vice President Joe Biden and using social media to sow discord. He also said the FBI is investigating whether Iran and China are trying to meddle as well. The FBI director was asked about the threat of white supremacists at home. He said lone domestic radicals are the deadliest, with white supremacists being the largest group.
Within the domestic terrorism bucket, racially motivated violent extremists over recent years have been responsible for the most lethal activity in the U.S.
Wray also asked about Black Lives Matter.
Have you seen any excessive violence that can be attributable to Black Lives Matter?
I can't think of one sitting here right now.
Wray also responding today to combative comments made by the Attorney General overnight.
William Barr reminding all DOJ employees they work for him and comparing some to preschoolers.
And as I say to FBI agents, whose agent do you think you are?
I will say we, the FBI, work for the American people.
Barr also showed his utter disdain for the leaders of Black Lives Matter.
They're not interested in black lives. They're interested in props. A small number of blacks who were killed by police during conflict with police, usually less than a dozen a year, who they can use as props to achieve a much broader political agenda.
And when talking about lockdowns in the pandemic, Barr invoked slavery.
You know, other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history.
David, some current and former prosecutors were offended by Barr's comments, especially those comparing them to preschoolers. David?
All right, Pierre Thomas, thank you. The remnants of Hurricane Sally turning deadly now, flash flood watches and a tornado threat at this hour, and Rob Marciano from the Storm Zone tonight.
Tonight, more than 24 hours after Sally made landfall on the Gulf Coast, rescuers still bringing trapped families to safety. This after hundreds had to be saved from high water Wednesday, many by the National Guard. Hurricane Sally was a beast, 105 mile per hour winds and feet of rain. Tonight, the true scope of the damage is coming into view. Families now salvaging what they can from damaged homes and businesses.
This marina is just a mess. You've got docks eating into the sides of boats, sterns and bows of boats crunched up against each other. Millions of dollars in damages in this area alone.
Sally knocking multiple barges loose in the Pensacola area. Brian Goduto's family was riding out the storm in their brand new home when the water started rushing toward them.
She looked back and it just was coming down like a waterfall from the backyard. And she grabbed the kids.
Brian cutting down this fence to divert the water away from the house.
It just came out of nowhere.
In hard-hit Orange Beach, Alabama, at least one person killed. Another still missing.
It's been mighty bad. And our state is reeling just as our people
are hurting.
Now what's left of Sally is spreading through the Carolinas, with up to a foot of rain falling in parts of Georgia and down trees all over the Atlanta area.
I was awakened by, it felt like a dumpster being dropped in my yard.
This huge oak crashing into two cars. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Tragically, as Sally approached, one person was killed by another falling tree.
Rob with us live tonight from Atlanta. And Rob, this isn't over yet.
It's not. You see what it did here in East Atlanta. Now it's heading through the Carolinas, and we still have a tornado watch that's posted. Check it out on the radar scope. Not only that, but heavy rain that's moving up through Virginia, D.C., even New Jersey. Flood watches are posted for those areas until Sally moves offshore, at which time it may meet up with our next storm, which is Teddy. Now a Category 4 storm is going to make it run up Bermuda on Sunday night, and then maybe Canada. And here's a watch out of all the action. Look at the Gulf of Mexico. A good chance of seeing this next one to develop, and that one will be close to home. We'll be watching in that one over the weekend. David.
All right, Rob Marciano, thank you. Multiple nights of great reporting. Thanks, Rob. Tonight in the West, firefighters are racing to shore up containment lines before dangerous weather returns. Crews in the Angeles National Forest are putting out isolated hotspots near the observatory on Mount Wilson. In Oregon tonight, heat and storms are in the forecast, along with the threat of lightning. They are on alert for more troubling weather there. Overseas tonight, we have new reporting on Vladimir Putin's foe, Alexei Navalny, recovering in a German hospital. There's new video tonight emerging in the suspected poisoning. And here's Martha Raddatz.
Tonight, while Alexei Navalny remains hospitalized in Germany, new and alarming details in this deepening mystery. Video just released showing the hotel room where Navalny, Putin's biggest critic, had stayed in Siberia. His colleagues seen gathering the evidence, including a water bottle they say a German military lab had found traces on of the same deadly nerve agent used to poison Navalny.
He's absolutely lucky to be alive. This is one of the most potent chemical weapons ever created.
The hotel room search by his supporters was launched immediately after Navalny fell violently ill on his flight to Moscow. Passengers recording the sound of his moaning before Navalny was rushed to the hospital after an emergency landing and moved to Germany a few days later. Germany confirmed that he had been poisoned by the military-grade nerve agent Novichok. The traces of the toxic agent were not found in the water itself, suggesting rather that Navalny had been poisoned before he touched the bottle and before he got to the airport.
The Russians denied they had anything to do with Navalny's poisoning, but the same type of nerve agent as has been used in a prior assassination attempt of a former Russian spy who dared defy Putin. David?
All right, Martha Raddatz. Martha, thank you.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
In this pandemic, a new study showing that if you wear glasses, it might help. Chinese researchers actually found a lower proportion of COVID cases among those who are nearsighted. It turns out those people were wearing glasses. They believe the glasses actually helped protect them from the virus. The star of the Netflix show Cheer was arrested today, charged with production of child pornography. Prosecutors in Chicago say 21-year-old Jerry Harris repeatedly requested sexually explicit images from two underage boys on social media. The FBI raided his Illinois home. Attorneys for Harris did not comment. Finally tonight here, America Strong, the baby and his mother's voice. Mason McMillan, born in Richmond, Virginia, 4 months premature, weighing just 1 pound.
Hey, bud.
He would spend 158 days in the NICU. Gaining strength, his family and doctors, though, began to realize that Mason could not hear them. But this week at VCU Children's Hospital, Mason was getting fitted for his hearing aids. Sitting on his mother's lap, watch as Mason is about to hear his mother Lauren's voice for the first time.
Mason, hi. Can you hear me? Hi, baby. Hi. You can hear me? Yeah. Good job. Yeah, you can hear me. Yeah. Hi. Can you say hi? No.
Do you like that?
Do you like how everything sounds? Yeah.
Mason and his mother and father right here tonight.
Hi, David.
All home together and all still smiling.
Mason is so thrilled to be able to hear everything now. He just can't take his eyes off of whoever is speaking. Thank you so much for sharing Mason's video and telling his story. Say thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good job. Yeah.
We thank you, and we love Mason's smile. Hard to beat that.